Good morning. Welcome to our second Sunday now of Easter. The focus of the service is on this. The Lord rose from the dead. And humbly speaking, humanly speaking, that's hard to believe. And Thomas, the disciple, proved that. In fact, it's often hard to believe many of the things that the Bible says. The devil, my own sinful nature, are often the cause of those doubts. And therefore, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith through the message of your word, lead us to realize the truth and the importance of Jesus' death and resurrection, and give me that sure hope of heaven, which is ours, through the forgiveness of sins. Let us ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him. We deserve his wrath. Therefore, let us confess our sins to our Lord and ask for his forgiveness. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin. Take away my guilt. Dear friends, our Heavenly Father has forgiven us all of our sins. By the perfect life, the innocent death of our Savior, he has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us the strength always to live according to his will. Amen. And we pray, O risen Lord, you came to your disciples, you took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by your word and sacrament and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence. For you live and reign with the Father, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the word of God. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 3. Peter shows the people that Jesus is the Savior. We begin reading at verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power of godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that the Messiah would suffer. Repent then, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." And our gospel lesson is from John chapter 20. God gives us his word that we may believe and have life in his name. We begin reading at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is God's word. We continue then with our message for today. Let's start at a home somewhere in Jerusalem. It's a Sunday evening. Inside the home, boy, it's stuffy, it's hot, it's crowded, and above all, it's very tense. Everyone is on edge. Words are said, tempers flare, feelings are hurt, and no one has any idea what they're going to do next. As you may already have guessed it, it was the setting for our gospel lesson today. The disciples were crammed into that home in Jerusalem on Easter Sunday. Jesus was already alive. It was already reported that people had seen him alive. But those guys were living as if Jesus was still dead. It took an Easter evening appearance by Jesus to change that. Now fast forward about 20 years, and we hear that some people were making that same mistake living in homes scattered throughout the city of Corinth, Greece. They were living as the disciples were living on that first Easter. They were living as if Christ was still dead. It took the words of the Apostle Paul to give those Christians the blessed assurance that Christ was alive. And because Jesus lives, my friends, every day is Easter. Let's hear the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." This is God's word. I see this often. What we're like is a washed window. My wife will spend a lot of time washing a window, washing it until she thinks it's totally perfect. She has it crystal clean, and then the sun shines, and we see the streaks that are missed. Those little streaks on the window is what Christianity is without Easter. We're left with a bunch of no's, no foundation, no faith in the promises that God has given to us, no forgiveness, and therefore no future. And Paul says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're all people who are most to be pitied. But then Paul says, stop right there. Christ is risen. He said, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I have $5, $1 bills in my hand. And I'm going to lay them down on the altar. There's the first one. Well, how many are to follow? This first dollar is Jesus rising from a grave outside of Jerusalem on the first Easter over 2,000 years ago. Paul calls him the first sheaf that was given as a grain offering, the first fruit. These dollars, then the four remaining, are us rising on the last Easter. And when is the last Easter? It is the harvest on Judgment Day. Just as the Israelites gave the first sheaf or the first fruits of the grain to the Lord as an offering, confident of more to come, Jesus' resurrection from the grave makes us confident of more to come. As sure as Jesus rose on his Easter, we will rise on our Easter. So what does it mean to live between Jesus' Easter and our Easter? It means that we can live confidently. Paul says, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." What do we know about Adam? We know that he died. He died because he sinned. Can you imagine how Adam felt when his strength began to fail him? When he noticed the first wrinkles or perhaps the gray hair? Each sign of age was a sign that he was a sinner, and each day of his life brought him closer to his death. And what's true of Adam is also true of you and me. Death is the result of sin. But Christ and his resurrection changed death. On Easter Sunday, Jesus did far more than just to soften the blow of death. Jesus destroyed it. He destroyed death from the cross of sin to the crown of life. That's why every Christian funeral looks ahead. That's why we place bodies in the ground or wherever in the sure and the blessed hope of the resurrection on the last day. And that's why we live confidently. The end will come, Paul says, when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. When something is destroyed, it cannot harm us. Because death is destroyed, that means sin, the devil, they're destroyed. Death is destroyed. And with those enemies out of the way, we are free to serve Christ in his kingdom here on his earth until we serve God in the kingdom of heaven. In a pack of lions, there is always one lion who is younger and stronger, meaner than all the other lions. That lion becomes a leader, and he stays that way until he is whipped by a younger, stronger, meaner lion. The pack of lions, then they use the washed-up lion to perform an important task in making a kill. That old lion stands out in the open, and when a herd of the prey, the gazelle, whatever, approach, the rest of the lions are way behind, but that one in the middle, that old lion, roars. That herd of deer or whatever it might be will run in the opposite direction, straight into the path of those hiding lions. If those deer only knew to run toward the roar of that old lion, they would have discovered that that old boy makes just a lot of noise, but he's lost its power. That old lion is the devil. He makes a lot of noise, but he lost his power to kill. It happened on the cross on Good Friday. On the cross, Jesus whipped the devil. A truth that is verified by Easter's empty tomb and by this promise: because I live, you also will live. We live confidently, secure in the power of our Savior's love. And so how does that confidence then show itself in our lives? Well, it comes out in the decisions we make. Every day of our lives, we need to make decisions, wherever we're at, home, work, school, wherever. Some of those decisions are relatively easy to make. Some of them are far more difficult. Some people say, well, go with your gut. Jesus says, go with my word. When we make our decisions based on God's word, not feelings, not our emotions, we can be confident those decisions are right. Living with confidence comes out in the service that we take. That new man inside of us, nourished and strengthened by the word and the sacrament, looks for ways to serve. That new man asks, what can I do? How can I help? That new man prefers to get in the game and play rather than to sit in the sidelines and watch. And finally, that confidence comes out in the way we live our life. Sometimes we look at those in the Bible and we tend to think that those great people of faith never had a bad day, that they never experienced failure, that they never messed up, that they never were down in the dumps. Well, how do you think Adam felt after he ate the fruit? How do you think Joseph felt when he was sold into slavery and remembered how he bragged that he was daddy's favorite? What about Elijah, when right after that huge victory over the prophets of Baal, he was forced to run for his life and hide in a cave? How about Peter, when he disgraced his Savior by denying that he even knew him? We could go to many others, but what do we know? They all got out of bed the next morning. They all went on to live God-fearing, God-pleasing lives. And how did they do it? They threw themselves at the foot of the cross. They prayed that simple prayer of the publican, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Lord does have mercy. The Lord does provide the power to live as his sons and daughters. And the Lord gives us confidence through his life, his death, his resurrection. And therefore, Paul concludes, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I want you just to make a mental note. Make a list of those things that you do in your life. You got them? What do I do in my life? Well, now go through that list and pick out the ones, the only ones, that are not done in vain. In other words, the only ones that you do that will live on forever. On my list, there's only two. Raise my family and share the Lord. Our souls and bodies and our relationship with Jesus are the only things that will last forever. And so there is only one answer to the question, where will you devote your time, your talents, your energy, and your life? We say with Paul, fully to the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week. Happy Easter.